गणपति गुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिस्सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ईशावास्यमिदं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृदः कस्य स्विद्धनम् Let's chant the verse that we started, which is number 9. So, part by part. Andantamah pravishanti ye vidyam upasate tato bhuya ivate tamah य उ विद्यायागुं रथाः सो दोज़ हू वर्शिप अविद्या फॉल इन टू ब्लाइंडिंग डार्कनेस बट दोज़ हू वर्शिप विद्या फॉल इन टू ग्रेटर डार्कनेस दिस इज वी स्टार्टेड डिस्कसिंग इट लास्ट टाइम अबाउट दिस एंड एज वी सेड दैट हियर विदाउट सम कमेंटरी बाय द We take Shankara Bhashya and what the known Mahatmas tell about it. Otherwise, the whole verse is blinding darkness. Because the nomenclature is a little different than what we're used to. So as we said last time, avidya here is karma. And vidya is going to be upasana. This is what it means here. Because otherwise... and there's reason also, because what happens is avidya means not vidya. And so this could mean ajnanam, meaning the opposite of jnanam. That's one option. Other option, something other than, right? That this would be jnanat anyaha for our Sanskrit people, right? Jnanat, fifth case, from jnana anyaha, something other than this. So karma is other than. It's not, because karma, you have to be a karta, you have to be an individual. So that's one reason why it's not jnanam. And actually, and then for upasana, yes, there is upasana, you need your mind, you need the intellect. So something subtler. So it's something that the action you're seeing inanimate things doing action to. But to have some sort of something deeper, you need for upasana, for thinking, you need already a mind. So it can be already from the plants we're seeing some intelligence, and of course animals more, and then we think we're the most intelligent. We're not so sure about that yet, but that's what we think. An interesting thing is you already see the base of intelligence. Of course, you see it in through behind everything, but that's through it. But from the individual level, already from the plants, like one thing, anybody who gardens knows this, if you take a certain plant and a climber and it starts climbing, it's like the peas, it starts climbing on something, then other branches in that same one will reach that same thing because it found it. So it how does that know to go to the same place and not just randomly go? It communicates somehow. So already something is starting there. But in any case, so this is what we're talking about here, about karma and upasana. So this set of three verses starting from this is doing a few things. One thing is karma and upasana ninda. It's criticizing. And when it's critiqued here in Shastra, it's not critique for critique itself. It's not like this. It's let's say that your son or daughter is very good at some sport, playing in school and doing very well in it too. Now, you're encouraging and everything. But now what happens is, because there's so much focus on the sports, their grades are going down in other classes. So the sport is a very good thing they're doing, good for the health, good for development, many good things. You know, they are together with their other teammates, so they're building up so many good things. But it's also shadowing something else. So you're going to say, you know, that tennis or that basketball that you're playing, it's nonsense, it's useless. You know, you're not going to get a job from it forever. You're not going to get into college from that. You know, you have to focus more. You have to cut down that focus. Stop doing that focus in your math class, like this. So you're not criticizing the sports because it's not a good thing, but in order to highlight something else, in order to focus something else, like this, something higher, better. So this is what's done here, especially because karma and upasana come from the same text, from the Veda. Interesting. And there's one interesting person, Swami Tadatmananda. Swami Tadatmanandaji is disciple of Swami Dayananji. He's a Western fellow who has lived in India many years. Swami Dayananji, he has his own temple or ashram in New Jersey. So I heard him talk a little bit on this verse. And he said something very interesting, because he says the next chapter in the Veda, just after the Ishavasya, goes right into the Karma Upasana. So it's, you know, you tell your daughter or your son, enough of the tennis now, it's not good for you in this, you know, focus in your school. Later in the day, say, hey, go practice some tennis, right? Because your ninda of that, deriding that thing, was just for understanding that don't just do that. Focus, you know, don't make that your main focus. Do it well, but you can't forget the other things like this. So here the Veda is doing the same thing. It's putting things in the place in order of importance. And also everything at its right time and place, because for some time certain karma is good. After that, not needed, right? Because, you know, you need it for a certain time. Then you have to move to something else. So you worship the deity with the form. At some point, you don't need, you know, you can continue. At some point enough, you can move on from that. Like this, it's because you can get stuck just in identifying with the form more and more, like this. This one has to eventually be, we have to go beyond it, like this. So in this way, it's good for a certain time and then. Another thing the ninda is for is also for mechanical karma, mechanical upasana, because it's very easy just to mechanically do things. We do so many things mechanically. When we drive, do we need to think every little thing we're doing? When we walk, do you think, okay, now shift the weight a little bit here, slowly lift the leg, you know, put it here? You don't do it like that, right? If everything you do, you can't pay attention completely everything like this. So a lot of things we end up doing like that mechanically, whether for good or for bad. But karma, meaning karma here in general in Veda, it'll mean ritual, of course, the Vedic rituals. But then also we can take it as activity in general. But the thing is this, specifically when you do ritual, you do puja or something like this, very easy just to do it mechanically because I'm doing the same thing every day, same kind of thing. Like when I go to our ashrams, you know, I used to live there, so I was surely guilty as people there are, how they're doing. Is this, you know, because of the mandate of the place, the same things will be done every day, same oddity every day, like this. Now I'm free, so I can do if I want to do something different if I want. But there, you have to do. How many people, when they're doing it, really doing it? How many just doing because you take the light, like this, chant the mantras, because you know them, you just chant. Then it's very easy just to do it without, you know, just because it's something that you do. And then it just becomes, you know, it's mechanical. It's not that it won't do anything, but it won't do the same. So this is another thing, is it's very easy to get caught in this with things that we do regularly. There was one somebody coming for classes here. This he's a Ridvik. And so, you know, he's here like so many people living in our area working in some sort of computer place. And then what happens is because jobs are demanding, he doesn't have a lot of time. So the puja that he grew up doing, whatever Vedic rituals he grew up doing, Vedic mantras he chants, he doesn't have time to do it properly in the morning. But because of the long time habit, he can't not chant the whole thing, whatever he's supposed to be doing. And so he says he does it very fast, like this, and goes through it. So, you know, I suggested, of course, it's very hard to change a lifelong habit when you're in your 50s or so and you've been doing this since you're 13, is, okay, so don't chant the 10 verses, chant 3, but do it, you know, completely. Very hard to change that, like this. But then if you do that, then you can do it not mechanically because you're not rushing just to do it. So this is also another thing that it's, you know, that it's talking about. The as Jesus, right, Lord Jesus had said that Sabbath was made for the man, but not man for the Sabbath, this exact thing. The Vedas are made for us, not us for the Vedas, same thing, like this. So how much am I cramming in, and how much can I just do with very, you know, without, you know, do completely? I remember, you know, Swami Tattavidandanji, he pointed this out once in satsang when I was there, is that he was saying, you don't have to learn so many chants and so many things. And this is somebody who knows so much because he grew up, his father's a pandit, he grew up going to Gurukulam, so he learned Vedas and everything like this so much. He's saying, you don't need so much like this. A few good ones, mantras of the prayers, sincerely saying, that's it, you don't need more. Because otherwise you just pile more and more, and where's your attention at when you're doing it? He's talking about like this. So this is also what's being pointed out here. And then what happens also, another thing that's pointed out in this section, is the karma upasana samuchaya, meaning combination. What happens is karma and jnana samuchaya, as we were discussing what Adiguru Shankaracharya says, is no, that doesn't work. It's not possible. It's like having light and darkness don't go together. You can't be individual and not be an individual at the same time. It doesn't make sense. So jnana is not, you can't combine it with karma. It's not that. It doesn't work. That doesn't mean, as we're striving, that we'll drop all our karmas, all our upasanas. No. We're studying Vedanta, we're studying Upanishad. But if the mind is totally prepared, yes, that's not needed, karma upasana. But since the mind still isn't completely there, we don't have sadhana chatushtaya isn't totally ingrained in me. So then these are helping to ingrain them. So it's fine. It's not that we should throw them out. But the understanding that is for development, that's not for jnanam, that's for having the instrument, getting the instrument properly prepared. Like this, purifying myself as individual, so it's easier for the jnanam to come out of me, be clear in me, like this. So there's no real samuchaya, you can't combine the two. It's not a combination, really, of them. But here, yes, a combination. Here it's for saying, yes, do the samuchaya. They will complement each other, so they'll be more productive, like this. Like when you do the karma without the upasana, without thinking of something higher. It can easily be more mechanical, and it's not going to be taking you to something higher, which it should be doing, because you worship the Murti, let's say. Then with the Upasana, you're slowly thinking of something higher, not just of the limited form. You're thinking more, something expansive, something limitless behind it. Just the karma won't take you there as quickly as easily in this way. So in this way, it's necessary for it. Unless I'm very, for lack of other word, advanced stage, then just Upasana itself also won't work. I'll be disconnected from, it'll be hard to stay with it. Like in our Thursday class, somebody was asking, to sit and meditate on this is very difficult on the Vedantic things, our Nididhyasana, because sitting there in our mind is just everywhere like this. So that's where it makes it much easier to have some sort of karma, some activity like this. With that activity, it's much harder for us. Something more solid that we, because we're used to the world, a tangible world. Can I just think of something higher, less tangible? It's harder for me to do it. So if I'm doing, like for instance, that's where asana pranayama, it starts with a very mechanical action, karma, and slowly leads you to something subtler. Subtler, so sensitizing. So this way, just the Upasana on its own will be very hard at first. But, slowly, possible like this. This is as we go forwards. So in this way, without the base, it'll be much harder to get there, like this. So a few points also about this verse here. These are most of the points I bring up are combination from the Shankara Bhashya, as well as from Swami Tattvedanandaji's talks on this, which I've found very helpful, what he says about these verses. That one thing is that we know in order that this section, which is talking about karma upasana, karma kanda, meaning which is the preparation state, which actually here when talking about karma and upasana, there are two different types of karma upasana that can be. There's nishkama, right, and sakama. Sakama, where I'm doing it, I want to get a certain result. Nishkama, I'm not doing it for a specific result, so it's really just for chitta shuddhi, purifying my mind. So then it's a prepared instrument. If it's sakama, if this doesn't work, then you can go just the regular karma kind of things. They'll give you all recipes for all the different things, which... that's fine. So if we want that, it's a different place. It's a whole different ball game, because then it doesn't thin out the idea of jivahood like this. There's good in that too, because then it'll teach me, okay, that's also a preparatory stage, because then I'm relying on something higher. I'm relying on the God for this. And I have to, and in order for those karmas to fructify, I need to be very pure also, and I need to give and I need to give donation and all these things, otherwise it won't work. So then it's an earlier preparation. But this is, when we get to nishkama, then it's a different thing. It's not for, I'm not doing the certain ritual so that I will go to the heaven, or so that to help relieve that family member will be well, or all these things, because that's a different story. Here it's not for that, but what happens is the Atma is as though covered like this, as though covered by stuff, and what it's covered with is projection from my own mind. It's not from somewhere else. It's not anybody else's fault. I can blame the God. I can blame the country, the leaders. I can blame the spouse is the number one we'll blame. Why my Atma is covered that I can't see that that I'm not at peace. But it's my own mind like this. My own mind, then, it's manifesting in two different places. One is externally and one is internally. Both of those are covering. Interesting, one of the Shanti mantras, Yashchandasam Rishabho Vishwarupaha, the end It's praying that my, it's like mini medha suktam, saying may my mind be clear and, you know, may it understand, retain this knowledge like this. But at the end it says, medaya pihitaha. At the end it says, the Brahman, the consciousness in me, is covered by this medha, by the mind itself. So I'm purifying the mind, but that is what is covering. Let me even understand, even though I'm working just in the mind, purifying it, it's still what is covering the self, like this. So it's covering the self, and it's covering the two fields, external world and internal world. External world is where I do my activities, the karma. Internal world is just my own mind, so upasana. So karma and upasana are important for both of these to purifying the two different sides. So just one side or the other won't totally do. So I need to do in both. Balance. Also one of the points of giving a balance. We need a balance of everything in order to proceed like this. So this is another important point, what's being talked about in here. And what happens is the karma is there also because my body can be lazy. Body laziness will go into the mind lazy too. So how do I start pulling out of tamas? Is first by physical activity. If somebody's lazy and you tell them, you know, do some upasana or do some mental activity to pull them out of it. It doesn't have to be the upasana of the god or this. You know, the math problems are there, so study history or something. How is their mind going to do it? They have to pull out first physically from it. That's why if somebody is in a negative, depressed state, first you do is you pull them out to do a lot of activity. You know, like one person once came for yoga classes, and this person was saying that gets depressed, so that's why hard for her to come and this and do it. So I said, very good. If you feel the yoga is doing something good, that's wonderful. But if it's hard for you to do, you know, if you like running or going to exercise class, if you like Bollywood dance, take one of these and just do that a lot. Because first do activity to pull yourself out of. When excited and doing this, then easier to do yoga, this. Otherwise, it'll be harder. So that's what happens, is you want to pull out of it. So the action is needed first in this way. And so then with the mind too. If the mind, which is more dull, to now do upasana, meditate on something higher in this, it's not going to work. First of all, some activity that'll be action, rajasic action is needed. That you'll go and you'll, you know, work hard and you'll go and you'll get good grades or you'll make money or something like this. Then slowly, you know, then you can refine it good. And as you're doing a lot of good work, do it so it can help and serve other people, like our neighbors that belong to a church. Probably since COVID, I don't think they do it, but like once a month they would join a group of people that each time they would find some cause, usually a person who's, you know, maybe very sick at home or maybe, you know, alone at home, so that they would all go there and whatever is needed, you know, fix up and help and pay, you know, go and do activity and help. So then the activity is for a more selfless cause like this. And then slowly more and more subtle. This is how, you know, like this. Now, an interesting thing with upasana is actually also in this type of upasana, we're talking, there are two different things that can be pointed out at. One of them is, you know, you go every day and you do some worship and you meditate on Krishna's form and how, you know, he's Vishnu, he's all pervading, meaning you're sitting there doing some sort of meditation on it. This is one thing. But then, what is the more important one, which should grow out of this, is also the vision in my life. Because the vision in my life, that what's driving me to go and do everything. This is what is really should be carried out from that. Like here, like this example of these neighbors who go to the church. So the idea, if they just go to the church and in the church they're constantly, the idea of, you know, being selfless is constantly, and they meditate on how selfless Jesus was and how to be a selfless person is very good. And then they go home and they just work and make their money and they, you know, and they give a little bit of money to charity, but just a little bit, you know, here and there. and they just make sure their son is well taken care of and he gets into good school and everything and don't care about others. And then it stays on Sunday, 10 to 11, talking about being selfless and or prayer in the morning, and then the rest forget it. So how it carries out his vision in my life like this. That's where really the field is. That's where it should be. So what is the vision of my life? Where's the focus like this? One time when Swami Ram Sarupanandaji, who when you come to Uttarkashi, you'll meet him there. So one time when he was here, I took him to the Shivananda Center in San Francisco. It's not there anymore. They're actually closing it down. I guess COVID might be part of it, but in any case, it's not functional anyway because of COVID. So I took him there, and then he talked to some people living there, and one lady is a resident. Residents at the Shivananda Centers, they have their own job or studies, and they stay at the center. They come for the morning prayers and meditation, everything, and they do some seva at the place. And then they pay some rent, of course, to be there also. So this lady asked her, so what do you do? She said, I'm a massage therapist. And what do you do here? Well, my job is to clean the center. So he said, oh, very good. When you clean, just think you're cleaning for, you're cleaning for Narayana like this. When you're massaging somebody, think that's the Narayana there that I'm taking care of like this. And she says for a few months that resonated with her and changed just her whole vision how she was doing things. So this is how the upasana has to go into the life. Otherwise, that's the vision of my life. Pull in and through. This is really where this is, where it should be taking us like this. So this is the two different sides of the upasana. And then just upasana, that this is what I do in this place. And then I'm blind in it, blind because I like it so much and anything else doesn't, by the letter, right? People say, exactly, as it says in the scripture, this is what it is, right? That's it. And you have to do exactly like that. You do a little off, oh, what a big problem, and no, I'm going to have to do a lot of, I'm going to have to do some things to make up because I made the mistake in how I chanted it today, when I was doing it in this type of thing. So I'm going to have to do that. And then if you can't do it at all differently, somebody knows a little bit differently, that's not okay. That person's going to be in big trouble because they're not doing the upasana totally correctly. This is a nice thing with the, if you take the Vedas, there are different some of the different Vedas have the same Purusha Suktam or Medha Suktam, but slightly different. So which is the right one? We can be stiff. This is the one. No. And no matter how much you know this is the correct way to chant or this, some other person knows that's the totally correct way. So in this way, not to be, if I get too stiff on that also. Discipline is good, focus is good, but then the stiffness then causes the problems like this. And then the upasanam itself comes from upa aste, to remain near, to sitting near. So it's to take you near to, pulling you near to the vision, more expanded vision. This is really what it's supposed to do when we're doing. This is what the whole idea is like this. Then what can happen also is one of the reasons for if I get too caught up just in that, the upasana, I'm caught up in that, and then it gets a total disconnect from my life. There's one story. There's a rabbi who used to come to our ashrams, very beautiful soul, not alive anymore. So he would tell about this thing about the Hasid. Hasid is this, for a certain Jewish sect, like tzedaka, like this. So this one who is a foolish one. Why they say the foolish one? Because he goes exactly by what the text is, right? So what happens is he was going somewhere and there was a lady who was drowning in the water like this. So what happens is he's not allowed to touch a lady. So he can't do anything. He can't go and save. It's a story, so don't think shocked that this person. So he doesn't do. So he goes by the book, he can't do. But his duty there is he's to go in and help and pull her out of the water like this. So this idea of you get stuck in the upasana in this and not practical, then what is it? And then my duties won't be done because, you know, some sort of, you know, love thy neighbor, but that neighbor is Muslim, not Christian, so I'm not going to help him, you know, that kind of thing. That doesn't. So this is what happens. And everywhere around, we've, you know, guilt of these things is everywhere. And the thing is, for me, I can see it outside, but I have to see within myself. That's where my blind spots are. Like this is the important thing. Because very easy to learn from what others do, but what about how do I apply it myself? This is the important thing like this. And then the other danger talking about here with the blinding darkness, even more blinding darkness of upasana, is if the ego identifies without, the moment the ego gets in, that's even more dangerous. More dangerous meaning, I'm a great businessman, I'm a great sportsman, this. Okay, no problem. Some ego is there. I'm a great devotee, right? I'm a great religious person. That's even more dangerous. That's why it's even more dangerous, because that one makes it a whole other dimension which can be much more problematic. So that's why here is saying also that's even more dangerous, that never to think because of anything with my spiritual things that I've gotten anywhere, anything. It's problem. It'll be a big problem. Like this, that's not going to do to get us anywhere. You know, I think I'm very pure. So what does it mean? Thinking I'm pure already is putting the, you know, the thought of purity itself making him pure. So like this. So in this way, this is where we have to be cautious with it. So let's continue. The next two verses go together with this one. Let's read it. Anyadeva hurvidyaya anyadahur avidyaya etishishrumadhiranam yenastadvichachakshire. So one result is said to be obtained by vidya, and another by avidya. Thus we have heard from the wise who have taught us. So one thing being from Vedanta school, then this shushruma, we get caught, okay, that, you know, it's kind of like when you look at, you know, you go to a store, whatever is more what you prefer, you're, you know, what more talks to you, you're going to focus on it more. You're going to think it's more important. So maybe that's one reason why when Swami Tatviranjanji talking, oh, shushruma, he likes to talk about, because he said, iti shushruma. These aren't things that we just find by ourselves. Shravanam, we do shravanam, we hear. It's not those who point it out to us. But also vichachakshire, they point out very clearly to us what it is, like this. So the shravanam, very important in this way. This is one thing he was pointing out. And one thing he said about Shravanam, which is very interesting, is most of the time when we listen to things, we're not totally present listening, meaning there are a few things. Of course, my mind can be going elsewhere. That's one thing. But then even if I am listening, I can be listening. There's a way of critical thinking. When you're reading the newspaper, critical thinking, that yes, this is a fairly, you know, Washington Post, New York Times, BBC, yes, they're pretty credible. But some of the things you say, well, you still have some critique of it as you're reading. So it's not you're just reading, but you're also interacting. We're trying to put your ideas on. This is one thing. And then another thing is listening to, but I have my idea. So whatever is said, I'm going to not accept. Meaning I'm going to filter according to what my ideas are. So whatever comes in, if this person says, that's good, very good. This one, no, you know, somehow, no, it can't be. I don't accept that, or I'm going to kind of block that one in this way. A firewall, we have a firewall. Conducive things, yes, other things, no, like this. This is another thing. We can't really listen in this way. So this is other thing that happens. We have a wall like this. So what happens is Sharavarnam, yes, I have to be totally open and present with. He says that what happens then is you have to become not a not listening with the ego, so there's nobody there. Nobody there. There isn't. Usually what we take, what we do is duality. I'm here and I'm seeing the stuff out, the sun outside. I'm here, so there's music playing and I'm listening to it. Once I separate, then also, yes, that music is very nice. I like it. It's very useful. No, here the person's not seeing the way I like it. I heard a different way, so no, this it's not the traditional way I don't like this. So that division happens. Where Sharavarnam, he says, is where there isn't hearing, there's only hearing. No hear and hearer and hear and heard, like this. Very interesting, because otherwise I separate from, and this is also in general a wonderful meditation to do, where what happens is the division between heard, between the object and the observer, drik and drishya, is a superficial one. Because direct experience is hearing. Then very quickly I break it into I'm the one hearing and that's thing being heard. It's not the direct experience, it's reaction that as an individual I have. And when you're just with hearing, there's no separation. Where is separation? What are the two different things? So Shravanam done like this, it goes much more, you know, there's no ego in the way, it's much clearer, and there's no, so there isn't somebody speaking, somebody hearing them, there's just hearing, just Shravanam like this. So then it makes more of an effect like this, in this way. And he says, then some knowledge comes up very clearly. Now, what he says about it also very interesting. He says, then what happens is later on, yes, when I think about those things and everything, some doubts will come up, some questions about it. And those will be questions because I really have introspected on, because I really listened, it really went in, I understood, and then something where it's not a superficial questions about. So then it's real mananam on, because it's real shravanam. So this is one thing you said about it, very interesting, that maybe a little aside from specifically here, but because here it's saying, yes, we did shravanam, or the gurus taught, so we understood clearly what is it, how does that work. So very interesting in this way, that's how Shravanam is. And so not scattered and not putting my ideas there. There's one case, this one person was a devotee of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. He went to some Vedantic guru. He went there and he was wanted to go and hear. So when he came, the guru there said, very good, you've come. Go back outside, leave your Ramakrishna out there, where you left your shoes, leave your Ramakrishna out there too, and then come in, like this. Meaning if I come in and bring those ideas with me, how's it going to, you know, let's say, you know, we're talking so much, our friends like this, the Christian, let's say you go with them to the church once, oh, to really see, it's nice. Now, if you go there and you're listening to the sermon, you can just listen, let it go in and resonate nicely, or No, he's talking to Jesus. The Jesus, that doesn't work. How's it going to, you know, how will it resonate? They can say some very good things, you know, very good. I can enjoy like this. Otherwise, I'm there and I won't really listen. I'll be fighting it. Just as an example, doesn't mean that's why you have to do anything. Just so in any case, so this is some of what this is discussed here. Mm-hmm. And what happens also, one more point along the line here, is this also, this way of Shravanam also helps to break the limited idea I have of myself. Because listening with the ego and this, I'm so caught up in I'm this individual. And listening like this is no individual. Otherwise, and we're so accustomed to being like that, to that. And so this helps then. Then it helps to, you know, take the attention away from this. And what is this individual? You know, it's an idea, right? And if I can Sharavanam then the Manam can be, and then I can, you know, speak more clearly about, understand more clearly, because the individual has to get out of the way. The individual is in the way that doesn't let me see this. And we're so used to, so caught up in it, that this is what occurs. Interesting, the light. Some of the time, more light. Some of the time, it's funny with the camera, even though the same lighting coming. This verse doesn't have this. Interesting, it's here. And here also, today he says, anyada hu ravidyaya, different things are obtained from the karma and from the upasana, different results. So meaning that each one can do something for you, there's no doubt. Activity can do something for me. Thinking something higher can do something for me, no doubt. And here, as we said, it's sanctioning the samuchaya. So just technically, one thing that they say about it then is that samuchaya will be two different things that each one is independent. Independently can give some result. But combined, it's going to do more, it'll do even more good. This is the samuchaya. So samuchaya, if you have to do some sort of karma, some sort of puja, and something is a part of it which you need in order to do it, right? You have the priest come, and the priest says you have to bring this item for it. Or you just do the puja on your own. And you know, I want to get these type of flowers because Lord Shiva likes this. I'm doing Ganesh Upasana, so I need I need to make his form out of turmeric, out of haldi. I can't just do it from something else like this. So that one is just an element used within. The haldi itself will have no result on its own. The puja itself has some result. So that's not samuchaya, that's just an anga. It's something you use within it. It's not something. But but each one has its own palam, own result. And then you combine together that, and it has the combination together is more of a result than the two combined, then that'll be samuchaya, where you take the two together like this. This is the idea. So then there will be technical things. They'll say karma can take you to this place and, you know, it to all the way to heaven. This one can take you to an even higher place. And if you combine this type of thing, they'll be talking about, which I don't think we have as much interest in that direction. But they'll say like this, that they'll have. The next three verses after this are very, very similar, just slight different, but very similar. There it does have more about what is the palam of the two different things you can get, but the combined will be even more. So here also, you know, it will, each one in its own has a result, but then combining them, the combination is going to be so much more than just each one on its own like this. This is it. Here's a very interesting, similar thing, example you can say, as vegetarians. Rice or grain gives something. Milk products or beans, legumes give something. But if you have together, you get the full protein. Those who are non-veg, okay, so they get full protein with that. But this way, combination gives you more. So that's a very simple worldly thing. But then, of course, here it's saying that the two together will give you more than just one or the other sitting on its own like this. This is... And it'll give, you know, much fuller. Because then, within my actions, within my thinking, everything is focused. Kayena vacha manasandiriyaya, like this. Not just kayena. Okay, we say that prayer. Narayana samarpayami kayena, whatever I do with my body done. What about what you say? Pacha. What about what you think? So everything has to be. So let it cover all the sides, like this. You want that to be not just part, not part and parcel. Just what I do in work is one thing, what I do at home, other thing. No, combined in everything. This should be organic in and through everything. It's not that the samuchaya, that vision should be in and through everything, not just in one place or the other. You're the same Atma in and through everything, not just in one place or the other, right? Not just in Vedanta class, now I have some idea I'm Atma, the rest of the time, no, I'm this miserable individual, which sometimes isn't miserable, but then, you know, Swami Shivananda says, on the cover of the book, This Divine, they put his quote, that you come to this world, so there's a little bit of laughing and a lot of crying. So don't die here like a worm. That's what he says. Not mechanical living. Full. The fullness should be is in everywhere, not just in one place, in this way. So in this way, we have to not mechanical and have this be in and through everything. Next verse, vidyancha yastat. Let's read once again. Vidyancha yastat. Vedo bhayagum saha. Avidyayam rityuntirtva vidyayam ritamashnute. So one who knows both vidya and avidya overcomes death by avidya and obtains immortality by vidya. So again here, the mrityuntirtva is not going to be just the meaning the physical death, because what you will obtain is one of the mrityum can be laziness, tamas. It'll get you beyond tamas. This is one thing. Another thing, if I really do 100 kurvaneveya karmani jiji vishet shatatam shatagum sama, completely engaged in, where's all the fear and discomfort, all these things, worry that get in the way. If I'm really completely active through what I do, all that is gone. And what Mahatmas say is that we die many times every day. We're worried, we're fearful, we're this, that's like death each time. So if you're really just engaged, everything, then where's the fear, where's that? So there's no, you will live your life 100 years full. One Mahatma says, why they say 100? They're 100%. Not here's 100%. You live 100% full what you do. Then, fuller life and you're not all... The tamas, you know, rajas is there, but tamas will not catch you then. Tamas then is the death in this way. Beyond that. So this is mritum tirtva. Amritam here then, there is full immortality, there's relative immortality. Because what happens is, let's say we live here. Let's say that Mission Peak is here. Compared to us people who come and go, how many people, how many generations have come and gone here, right? We're here now. Some time ago, just, you know, a few decades ago, this was a small town, Fremont. People that live here said there were big fields, flowers and everything. You know, sometime before, then it was, I'm living in Irvington. Shruti's living in a different town. Was it Centerville or something? Somebody else is living in different towns. Before that, the Indian Native Americans were sitting here for a long time in this. This peak is there the whole time. They changed the name of it. We call Mission Peak before they had some other name. All of us come and go, but that one is here the whole time. Thousands of years, dozens, hundreds of generations come and go. It's there. Relative immortality, like this. Yes, go, you know, a billion years ago, won't be. There would have been molten rock somewhere like this. In 2 billion years come, you know, let's say Earth is swallowed by the sun, where is it? So it's not total immortality, but relative immortality. So after death, if we say after death I will be immortal, that's relative immortality. Because immortality, there's no death. How can it be after death? It doesn't work. So meaning go to some plane where you'll be there for a long time. And then after, go to Brahmaloka, enjoy there with everybody, like somebody that gets long retirement. Somebody retires early. Oh, I have enough money and this. Retire early now. I'm going to... They'll live swaddled here for 20, 25 years with some other problems here and there, of course. And then finished. So in this way, relative, you'll spend longer and better somewhere else. Yes, it can do that. The upasana can take you up to the level of the devata you do upasana on. That's what's said. Because what happens, upasana means you focus on something. Whatever thing it is, that's akara, it's some form of some sort. You can't focus on formless. It doesn't make sense. There's no focus on formless. Vedanta goes into that. Formless includes you. There's no form. So something. So if you do upasana of some devata, what is, then the highest you can be is get to that. In this way, you can become that one. And so you merge with that. And they say, what is the highest upasana? Then like this, merge with that, the deity. And you'll be there until this kalpa ends, until Brahmaji gets tired and takes his nap, goes to sleep. Then when coming out again, according to your karma, you come out again and you have to start at square one wherever you're at. So the highest, so it can be, let it be millions, billions of years, you're there like this. Okay, in this way. Even you can get to, just like somebody becomes a minister, or here they don't call them ministers, they call them secretary, the secretary of state, like this, right? So you can become that. So you can even become something like this, become one of the, get a high job in the in the universe like this. Very good. And then that will also last for some time, and then move on to next thing. Because here, somebody becomes president. Then in their 4 years, usually when they're there 8 years, they look like they age 20 years. Like, remember, you see Obama coming in, see a picture when he started, when he ended. It looks like age 20 years. Look at George W. Bush. He went in, and also you can see the pictures before and after, or Clinton. So if they're there 8 years, it really, takes a big toll on the health in this. So they can do, but then afterwards, something else. So in this way, too. So go to any place like this, it's relative. So for some time. So in this way, that's what happens. One of them is going to take beyond, they'll help go beyond certain limitations, but not to limitless in this way. This is what happens. So one of the ideas of the drishti, the mrityu, is also deha drishti. What is death? Death of the body. Meaning, if I don't see that I'm the body, like this. So that's one idea that the karma can take until the place that, because karma means of the body, I'm doing with the body. What's the highest it can take beyond the body then? Because of the body, it takes till there that I know, okay, I'm not this limited body. That's a huge thing. If I could just see that, it's a huge thing like this. So that's as far as it can take, or one idea about what the, what mritum tirutva, having gone, right? Tirutva, the incomplete, having gone beyond this. And the upasana then also depends what I focus on, how much I'm ready for, because I'm so used to nama rupa. That's what I know, name and form, right? Rupa's not here, so we'll focus on nama today. But nama rupa, we focus on that. That's what the mind knows. And so the thing is sensitizing to slowly more subtle. The panchakosha viveka that we're doing Thursday is really on individual level working on that. Because The physical form is the grossest and the one that's most tangible. Okay, so this, just to go a little beyond that to pranamaya, to identify as the life force behind is a huge step because it's much more subtle and much less of a form. So if you go even beyond that, manomaya kosha, even more subtle, less form. So the upasana sensitizing less and less caught up in the namarupa like this. Less and less. So what is it my upasana focused on? The more and more subtle, the more it can expand. And then expand beyond the limitations in this way and expand to more higher relative immortality. You know, I got, you know, 10 points of relative immortality. Well, I got 50 points of relative immortality like this. I'm a mountain and I'm the sun. The sun, how much more immortal than this? In this way. Mm-hmm. And interesting thing is the how it, this is another interesting thing about how it is, you know, that that one becomes one with the devata, that they're doing the upasana, is what happens is whatever I think of, that's my identity, whatever I think of, right? So somebody gets a certain position. At first, they're not identifying with it. And slowly, as they keep thinking that more and more, they identify more and more, that becomes primary in their character. They identify with that role, that position. And more they identify, more thick. And so that becomes what they're thinking of. The more you think of something, the more that's what you are. That's what you become, like this. There's this Brahmarakita Nyaya, which says like this. There's a small insect, right? This is, if it's really something in nature or not, that's not the point. It's something just of this idea. So this little insect, the wasp catches it and puts it somewhere, keeps it somewhere like this. And every once in a while it comes and it stings it. And this one gets very scared. Every time it sees the wasp, it gets very scared. So all that it can think of is the wasp that's keeping it, you know, keeping it as the as hostage, and every once in a while coming and scaring it, every once in a while stinging it, so it can only think of the wasp and nothing else. So then, after some time, it becomes a wasp itself, because that's all it can think of. So it gets the wings and this, and then becomes a wasp because that's all it can think of. So this is the story, like this, what you think of them, that's what you eventually become. You become that one. That's why it's very important what we think. Whatever we think, we're taking ourselves in that direction. And what happens is this. This is something Swami Premananji had said about. He said the difference between us and the worldly people and Mahatma, as worldly people, our thoughts aren't focused, they're scattered. That's why we don't get so much, we don't manage to get so many things done, achieve so much. Where Mahatma, the focus, there's just totally focused. So if there's a focus tension, it gets done. Like this. He's there. Within a few years, this big building was built there. And he had nothing. He has nothing. Like this. This one other Swami there just got the land right next to that. There was a field. I was there when he went to talk to the farmer who owned it. Swami Ramsurupananda, he knows everybody there, so he helped him. Very cool. Within a few years, the school is built there. Kids are going, the best school in the area. So there's just there isn't the ego in the way. There isn't confusion about things. So just like this. So what we think of in that way. So in myself also, the more and more we become that. This is again why it's so important. Where I'm thinking is all the stories of the asuras. All the stories of the asuras. They're very powerful. And because they do tapas, they do the upasana, but without the purity of mind. So they do it without the purity of mind. And then what happens is they get the power, but it's linked with the ego. It's not. So it becomes more dangerous, causes more trouble. And, you know, we have there will always be examples in the world of this. And then in this way, we just had the Saraswati Puja. They say that's why Saraswati needed first, then Lakshmi. That's why you don't give a lot of money to the kids. Let them go to school, learn well. Later on, money and this, okay, and then they can. Without knowledge, how are you going to use it properly? How are you going to use things properly? Right? So in this way, the what you think of, you're becoming more like that. Why am I this person in this life and everything? Well, thoughts and ideas, actions from the past bring about this. So where I will take myself as an individual, the sky's the limit, right? What's the limit? Nothing limits as far as the imagination can go. But the thing is, one has to be stable with it. One will say, how come this person's so rich? Look, Mr. Trump became president. How did he become president? Obviously, he did some lifetimes of Upasana wanting to be the most powerful person. There's no doubt. Otherwise, he couldn't do it. No, he's not the only one. Anybody who is president of the United States, you know. There's no way without that, without the thought, such a one-pointed thought for a long time, that somebody would get to any high state in anything, any being brilliant in anything. Not possible otherwise. So in this way, that's how, because more and more, less and less my other ideas are there, my other ego ideas recede to the background, that idea stays there. So then the Upasana can take to anything. Now, of course, in Vedanta, then we say, yes, that is very true, but it'll still take you to somewhere, and that somewhere is temporary. It still is not a permanent thing. So it's very good, and we should do. We should do, but for purification of mind. So that I see I'm something more expansive, so I'm not as caught up in things. I'm not as, the gravity of the individual isn't closing me as much. But then let me also, you know, I have to do vichara, because Upasana is still the mind thinking of something, identifying something. So it's not going to take us all away. It'll prepare very nicely. So in this way, that's why the vichara has to continue, has to be there. I have to keep doing, because that's the main thing that will take me beyond it. One Upasana, which is for Vedantis, really one of the favorites, is the Akasha Upasana. Because if you think of yourself as the space, like the space, but again, space like awareness. This is one thing. Next section we'll talk about when you focus the Jada Vastu. That's not as good. You can get to what's called Prakritilaya. You become like a Jada, you know, like deep sleep, Jada. What good is it? Okay, so you're not suffering from anything, but it's like you're under anesthesia. But in any case, so space like awareness, not just space containing things, but awareness, which is as close as we can look at as Sakshi, as awareness, as Atma, as close as we can get to with Upasana. Very similar, we can say. So that's a very wonderful, that you meditate on the space like awareness. Really wonderful exercise. And like anything, somebody says focus on it, do Upasana on, it's something that's kind of hazy. I don't see it clearly. But anything you do regularly gets more clear. Anything you do regularly, you get more and more the hang of it. It takes more part of your mind. It resonates more. When I first heard about, you know, meditate, you're like the space, okay. You know, I've done some more with it, and so it becomes clear. And then it breaks your idea of the body, just your limited body, breaks it, all these things it can do. So this way, and that Upasana is, you know, like, it'll be very hard, if you keep doing that and doing vichara, it'll be very hard to separate that Upasana from vichara. It'll be very hard to do, which is good, because it'll bridge over like this. It'll bring our idea of Upasana to our viveka vichara as well. So this is how this can be utilized very much in this way, you know. And if we do any Upasana properly, it should take that direction, you know. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Vyapakatvam Vishnu, everywhere, all-pervading. So all-pervading, I think more and more in that. I'm all-pervading. I'm in and through every experience. I'm not limited like this. Lord Shiva, right? Shiva, all-spacious, or everything destroys everything. Well, when everything's destroyed, what's left? I'm still there. What is destroyed? You know, what can be destroyed? Nothing. Everything is just going through a cycle. So whatever is destroyed, whatever can be destroyed is mithya, because it was just there as good as being there momentarily. So when it's destroyed, what is really behind it? Like this, it points to that. So any of these, if really done, it'll bridge over to the Vedantic thought. If not, then it still keeps us limited like this. So that's why it should be always pushing forwards to more expansive like this. And eventually expansive has to include myself. And without Vedantic vision, it won't make sense. And it won't take us there. So this is with the Upasana very helpful. But then it has to grow into these. Has to grow into the, feed into the vichara eventually. So at the beginning, maybe, if somebody's new to, yeah, Vedanta doesn't speak to them, so this is good. And then if they really go through it in a good way, it should lead towards this. It should eventually lead like this. So if not, then we're getting stuck in one place or the other. And this is the warning here. Don't get stuck. Keep, you know, expanding, moving ahead. Otherwise, you know, it'll be very nice, but then what? Like this, in that way. So let's finish here today. We'll move on to the next verse next week. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.